Welcome back to No Flags, No Filter. I'm William Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And we are ready for another action-packed episode after what was one of the most exciting NFL week ones I can remember in recent memory. All right, so to start off, we're going to be breaking down the games from last week. We're going to start off with the last week's Thursday night game, Dallas at Philly. So I think obviously what we saw was it was a big game from Hurts on the ground, but the main question that game left me with was, can he get the ball to his weapons? I mean, it's unacceptable when you're paying two wide receivers $20 million a year. A.J. Brown's getting paid almost $30 a year, and they're combining for like 10 total yards. I was decently impressed with the Cowboys. I think Dak played a decent game. CD played a great game. I was not very high on the Cowboys' D coming into the game. They played pretty well. They played pretty well. They were able to get some great pressure even with Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata at the tackles for the Eagles. And I think George Pickens, also another player, he didn't necessarily put up a lot of numbers, but he did a great job of clearing out the middle of the field for CD and Jake Ferguson. And even though the Eagles won this game, I think it was a pretty worrisome game for the Eagles. I mean,
it was definitely a win in the Cowboys' book.
Yeah, they left me with a lot of questions, both on offense and defense. And I'm just especially hoping that they can get the ball to AJ and Devontae this week. And one more point, the Eagles did not have a single sack on the Cowboys. So,
yeah, it was interesting. The weather delay kind of just stopped all the scoring in the game, and it kind of hurt the Cowboys' chance of winning. It looked like they had a chance there until CD just forgot how to catch a ball. I don't know. But the Eagles kept on pushing. They couldn't really run the ball either, which is interesting considering the Cowboys had one of the worst run defenses last year, and the Eagles have one of the best running backs and best of lines. So it's definitely there's definitely a big concern for the Eagles going into the next game.
All right, moving on to the Brazil game. We had Kansas City at the Chargers. And I know in the past people have always talked about Herbert, you know, not living up to expectations. A lot of people have called him hypothetical Herbert. And I think that was Herbert's best game of his career. And I also really liked seeing Quentin Johnston proving to be a capable receiver at X. And I think it showed that Herbert really has some great weapons out there, you know, with Quentin Johnston, Ladd McConkey, and Keenan Allen actually looked pretty good. I thought that Joe Alt also played a great game at left tackle. You know, he really he kept Chris Jones from getting really any pressure off the edge on Herbert. And I think on the Chiefs side of the ball, obviously the Xavier Worthy injury was a little bit of a punch in the throat for them. But I think Hollywood Brown stepped up nicely. So if Xavier Worthy does end up missing, which I don't think he's supposed to miss that much time, some extended time, I think Hollywood should be able to step up. And I want to talk about Travis Kelce. He did put up some okay stats, but he did not look good. He didn't really look like he was going full speed out there. He just did not look like his usual self. And obviously Mahomes had a pretty good game, but Kansas City's D-line, Chris Jones and George Karlaftis, they just got absolutely brick-walled by Joe Alt and the rest of the Chargers O-line. And I think that game was a preview of what is to come with Justin Herbert this season.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that big 52-yard strike to Quentin Johnston really like set the tone for the game and helped them win. And Patrick Mahomes' late interception in the red zone, which is rare from him. I mean, you never see him throw interceptions like that to Derwin James. It definitely helped the Chargers just keep on momentum and win the game. And it's a statement win for the Chargers, and it's proof that the Chiefs' dynasty is over. I mean, it didn't look too good. Travis Kelce is not the same player he was 3 years ago. So it's definitely going to be scary in Kansas City.
All right, now moving on to Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Now, it's very unfortunate, I think, that Younghoe Koo missed that last kick as we didn't get to see this game go to overtime. And I think my main takeaway from this game is that Penix is that guy. Despite all of the Falcons' woes on defense and offense, Penix carried that team on his back on the last drive and set them up for what should have been either a touchdown or going to overtime, and Younghoe Koo unfortunately wasn't able to bring it home. I think Baker had a very lackluster game, you know, sub 50% completion percentage, but I think Emeka Ebuka really stepped up and showed that he's going to be a stud in that Buccaneers wide receiver room with two touchdowns week one. Something that I was a little bit concerned with was Atlanta's O-line. They just could not run the ball. Bijan and Tyler Algier combined for only 50 rushing yards. But something I did like seeing was Kyle Pitts really stepped up, and he almost looked like his rookie self with those big, strong hands out there and getting a lot of yak. But, yeah, it was a good game from the Bucs defense after the first drive. And I do think Tampa Bay played better overall than Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Mecca Igbuka showed what he's about. He's here to help Tampa Bay win games. And without Chris Godwin, he definitely stepped up. And I just can't imagine when him, Mike Evans, and Mecca Igbuka are all healthy and on the plane, that could be a scary offense for Tampa Bay. Michael Penix did look good. He had that late interception, but that last drive, I mean, he looked like a stud. He was moving the ball down the field, and it looked really easy for him. The best play of that game was Mecca Ibuka's touchdown catch to seal the game. I mean, double coverage, just catching the ball right there, staying in bounds. It was a great play. Buccaneers have a good team going to keep it into this year, and I'm excited to see what they can do.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on the best play of that game. The best play of that game was definitely 100% Michael Penix stretching out for that late touchdown. Definitely. He looked like Superman out there. All right, now moving on to the Bengals at Cleveland. That game for me, that was the usual week one Bengals that we've seen the past years. Joe Burrow played awful. The Bengals O-line got destroyed. Moving on to the Browns. Joe Flacco, I think they had him throwing the ball too much. He definitely looked like he was up there in age throwing the ball. He threw a lot of risky passes. But luckily, the Browns defense stepped up. You know, Denzel Ward locked down Ja'Marr Chase, and Myles Garrett feasted on that Bengals O-line and had 2 sacks on Joe Burrow.
Yeah, this is the Bengals' normal self. I mean, they started out slow. They lost to New England last year, and they almost lost to Cleveland this year. I mean, they can't start, but they won this game. That's what matters. They're 1-0 now. It can help them get to the playoffs, which is what they are concerned about. It was just, I mean, it was Joe Burrow's O-line. They let up 4 sacks, but the Bengals' D forced 3 turnovers. I mean, they can't block for the quarterback, and they're now 2 new DNs are doing really well. And it's interesting because the Bengals' offense should be a powerhouse. I mean, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are both being paid so much money. And they just get locked down. I mean, they need to get separation, and they need to be able to run the ball, and they need to be able to protect Joe Burrow, but they just couldn't do it. Cleveland could have won that game. They had the 54-yarder, but it just didn't happen. And then Jordan Battle's interception really set up that to flip the momentum.
All right, now moving on to the Indianapolis Colts at Miami.
Indiana Jones.
Miami looked awful. Tua played what was probably the worst game of his career. The Dolphins DBs, they looked probably even worse than Tua. They played terrible all around. And I do want to give credit to Daniel Jones for a great game. Obviously, I think that was the best game of his career. And another player that really surprised me on the Colts was Samson Ebukam. He looked really good coming off the edge for Indianapolis. And I think he was able to get a lot of pressure on Tua. And I think that was just an all-around great game from the Colts and an all-around terrible game from the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones, 272 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, scored on every single one of his possessions. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was like kind of a more mobile Peyton Manning, I guess. Tyler Warren had a great game. He had that 40-yard catch. Miami's offense, I mean, we talked about it. Tua just looking like Tua, I guess. I mean, he hasn't really lived up to the expectations of an Alabama quarterback, and he threw 2 picks. They weren't good picks. It was just a rough game for them. They need to start locking in. I mean, it was rough.
All right, now moving on to Vegas at New England. So the Patriots defensive front, especially Christian Barmore up front, they were really able to stuff Ashton Jeanty. And what that really did was it put a lot of pressure on Geno to throw the ball. And Geno threw the ball over 40 times. You know, he threw for 362. He played well, but I think he was asked to throw the ball too much. Moving over to the Patriots side, Drake May, he played a decent game. I wouldn't say he played great. Kayshon Boutte, the second-year wide receiver out of LSU, played really well, 100-yard receiver that game. And the main player I want to highlight on the Patriots was Harold Landry III. He looked absolutely rejuvenated out there, you know, going for 2.5 sacks. He's now leading the league in sacks. But obviously, Las Vegas did end up winning this game, and I think credit is due to Geno, you know?
100%. I mean, they didn't rely on the run game as much as I thought a Pete Carroll offense would. I feel like they could have gotten Jeanty more. They weren't really moving it with Jeanty. It was a weird game for them. But Geno Smith played pretty well. I mean, he had good yards. Some missed plays, but what are you going to do about it? Max Crosby had that great strip sack in the late fourth quarter to win the game. And I mean, Pete Carroll being the oldest head coach to win a debut game is pretty cool. So good for the Raiders. This is a good step forward, and they need to keep on winning games.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree. All right, moving on to the Cardinals playing in New Orleans. All right, so I think what we saw is what we all knew from last season. Spencer Rattler is not a starting NFL quarterback. He is bad. And I also think Kyler Murray did not really play up to my expectations that game. I think he played very mid. I think Trey McBride really underwhelmed that game. And I think it really forced Marvin Harrison to step up, and he showed that he is a dog. Saints side of the ball, Kamara, I think he really was forced. He had a lot on his plate and was forced to really kind of try to carry that offense. He did play pretty well. And on the Saints defensive side of the ball, Cam Jordan looked fresh for his age. I mean, he looked pretty good out there. But I think there weren't many doubts going into this game that the Cardinals weren't going to win this game. So not shocked at the outcome of that game at all. But I would have liked to have seen Arizona play a little bit better.
I mean, 100%. 20-13 against arguably the worst team in the league this year. I mean, they're probably going to have the number one pick. They're winning that. It didn't look good. I mean, I don't know how Jonathan Gannon's supposed to be. I mean, I don't know what his expectations are in Arizona, but I think it's better than this. They had the lead. The Cardinals had the lead in the first quarter. Alvin Kamara gets a touchdown. It doesn't seem like the Cardinals' defense, which is what Jonathan Gannon is supposed to be helping with, isn't like working. I don't know. Marvin Harrison had that great touchdown. It was really interesting. I don't know how to feel about the Cardinals right now, because they have to look a lot better than that. I mean, they're a sneaky team that could probably win the NFC West, but that team won't win the NFC West playing like that.
Yep, I definitely agree. All right, moving on to Pittsburgh at the New York Jets, one of the most exciting games of week one. Now, that looked like the old Aaron Rodgers. DK Metcalf played really well for his first game in Pittsburgh. Calvin Austin III played really well. But I also want to move over to the Jets side of the ball and give credit to Justin Fields, because 100%. He did his job. He played a mistake-free game. He got the ball to Garrett Wilson. And moving over to the defensive side of the ball, I think defensive player of that game goes to Will McDonald of the Jets, even though they didn't bring him home. He brought a ton of pressure off the edge with a crucial sack on Aaron Rodgers that could have won them the game but did not. But, I mean, Aaron Rodgers just played so well. So well.
This was an electric game from start to finish. I mean, that Pittsburgh drive, that Jets drive, I mean, they were running the ball. They were moving it down the chains. I mean, the Jets, I love watching that offense. Aaron Glenn did a great job this offseason, and I feel really confident about them. They could definitely make it hard for Buffalo to win the NFC or the AFC East. I do want to see more. I do want to see more out of DK Metcalf. I feel like it was a good first game in Pittsburgh. I feel like there's a little bit more. Jalen Ramsey had a heck of a game-saving play at the end of the game again on Garrett Wilson. I loved watching Justin Fields run, make plays with his legs, and throw the ball. I mean, He looked like Ohio State, Justin Fields. So it was definitely a good game for them. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that just was a great game to watch.
Yep. All right, moving on to the Giants at Washington. All right, I know that I talked about this last week and how I did not have a lot of confidence in Russ, and I think he went out there and proved me right on Sunday. Russell Wilson did not look like he's that guy for New York. You know, I think Jackson Dart should be out there next week, and I know that probably won't be the decision, but I think Jackson Dart should be out there next week. I think in spite of Russ, Malik Nabers played a pretty decent game. And I think the Giants' defensive front played incredibly well, with the exception of Dexter Lawrence, who actually got handled pretty well by the Washington Commanders. But the trio of Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, and Brian Burns all had sacks. Now, moving over to the Commanders, I know people have talked about maybe Jaden Daniels being a one-hit wonder or something like that, but he played really well. But the Commanders' tackles did not play well, and I think the Commanders won in spite of their tackles.
You're definitely right. Russell Wilson did not look like the same player. It was rough. Tough to watch that. I don't know what it was with him. It just didn't look like it clicked. And they have to play the Cowboys next week. And there is the news that Russell Wilson is starting against the Cowboys, I'm pretty sure. I don't know how he's going to play. I mean, I know the Giants defense could definitely get after Dak, because Abdul Carter, Brian Burns, and Kayvon Thibodeau can definitely beat Cowboys tackles. But I don't know if they'll be able to score. I mean, the Cowboys defense looked really good on Thursday. The Commander side, Jayden Daniels had a great game. Deebo Samuel looked pretty good in his first game
as a
Commander.
Definitely.
And Daron Payne had a great game anchoring the defense up front. I mean, Russell Wilson couldn't complete a pass. The O-line gave him no protection. You can't blame him for everything, but you can definitely say a lot about him.
Yep, definitely, 100%. All right, now moving on to Carolina traveling to Jacksonville. That looked like the Bryce Young that I remember watching his rookie year. I mean, he did not play well at all. Tetrell McMillan, their first-round pick, did actually play pretty well, though. I think he had, like, 60 receiving yards. Moving on to the Jags side of the ball, T-Law looked decent. He didn't do anything crazy. He played a relatively mistake-free game with the exception of his interception. I think, obviously, player of the game goes to Travis Etienne. I mean, there was a lot of doubt with him coming into the season. And actually, last night, the Jags actually traded away Tank Bigsby, which was his competition in the running back room. So I think that's just showing the Jags confidence in Etienne for the season. And, I mean, he had 140 yards on the ground last week. I was okay with how Travis Hunter played, but I was a little bit underwhelmed.
100%.
He averaged 6 yards per reception, which I think I would have liked to have seen some more explosive plays for him. For the Jags on defense, Dwayne Smoot, he played a great game on defense, and I think he was really getting a lot of pressure on Bryce Young. But, yeah, I think Jacksonville played a lot better than Carolina overall, and I'm pretty excited about Jacksonville this season.
Of course, there was that one-hour lightning delay, and that didn't help either offense. I mean, it did help the running game. Travis Etienne had 143 yards and a 71-yard run. I mean, it was a great game from him. It looked a lot better than he did last season. Trevor Lawrence, I can't tell about him. I mean, it didn't look like a superstar quarterback that's a first overall pick. He just looked like kind of just out there using his weapons, managing the game. Jordan Lewis had a great game. Cam Little had a great game. Fantasy Day, 15 points. I mean, I like that a lot. I was so high on Bryce Young coming into this year, and he let me down a little bit. I mean, 18 of 35 for 154 yards, one touchdown and two picks, and a fumble. That's 3 turnovers by your quarterback. And maybe some of that's not all him. Maybe some of it's the O-line, some stuff like that. But it was a rough game. I'd say the Jaguars had a great run game. Trevor Lawrence managed the game pretty well. Jordan Lewis had that clinch pick. And then the Panthers, just turnovers and a bad QB performance. I mean, it was a rough game for them.
100%. All right, moving on to the Titans traveling to Denver this past Sunday. I was a little bit surprised at how much Bo Nix struggled against the Titans secondary. I think L'Jarius Sneed really played a great game for the Titans. He threw 2 interceptions, of course. Cam Ward played about as expected against Denver's defense. I mean, that's probably the toughest Week 1 matchup playing at Denver that a rookie quarterback could have. So I think that put a lot of pressure on Tony Pollard, and I think he really stepped up and played a great game both in the running game and in the pass game. But I think on the Denver defensive front, Zach Allen really wreaked havoc on that Titans O-line.
Yeah, I don't know if all the issues for Cam Ward wasn't his fault. I mean, he got sacked, 6 times and lost a fumble? That's ridiculous. I mean, they only lost by 8, too, and you'd expect more from Sean Payton in that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee couldn't move the ball, though. I mean, they had 133 total yards and got sacked 6 times. And mm-hmm. Bo Nix, I don't know what that was. I mean, the Bills game last year in the playoffs, he looked elite. And then it's back to this. Maybe just Week 1 struggles from a lot of young quarterbacks. Talanoa Hufanga had that early fumble on Tony Pollard, which had a Broncos touchdown. R.J. Harvey had a good 50-yard run. The Titans didn't do anything offensively. I mean, they had 13 penalties for 131 yards. They couldn't get any rhythm offensively. I don't know what to say. I mean, this is just a bad game for the Titans, a bad game for the Broncos, and the Broncos are just the better team, so they just won the game.
100%. All right, now moving on to San Fran traveling to Seattle. I think my first takeaway for this game was that Sam Darnold did not look composed in the pocket. I think he really struggled under pressure, specifically from Nick Bosa. What I did like seeing for Seattle was JSN really stepping up into that wide receiver one role. He had more than 80% of the target share that game, which is that's crazy. And if anything, that could be a little bit worrisome also, because does Sam Darnold feel like he has anybody else he can reliably throw the ball to on Seattle? On San Fran's side of the ball, there was a lot left to be desired with Brock Purdy's play. I do think Ricky Purcell played a really good game.
You were right.
Until George Kittle's injury, he was playing a pretty great game, but I think he's out, 3 to 5 weeks now, so that's going to be a huge hit for the Niners. And on defense, I mean, the Niners guys looked great. Nick Bosa and Fred Warner specifically looked elite.
Yeah, this game started with the Niners having that touchdown and the pass to that pass to George Kittle from Brock Purdy for 5 yards for a touchdown. Nick Bosa won the game for them with that sack. It was an interesting game. I mean, Sam Darnold did not look like the Vikings. Kevin O'Connell definitely helped him out a lot in Minnesota, and we'll get to the J.J. McCarthy later, but it was interesting from him. I don't know. Both these teams, again, it was. I think it's maybe just week one struggles, shaking off the rust a little bit, getting back into the game. It didn't look good offensively from either team, and I guess you'd expect more from the 49ers. I think expectations are another playoff, maybe in a playoff contention, and same with the Seahawks to a certain extent, but maybe we'll see Jalen Milroe further down the line play a little bit more. I don't know. I mean, the quarterback position is not, I don't think it's locked down anymore after this game. So we'll just see how that plays out.
100%. And I think it would be exciting to see Jalen Milroe out there at some point this season. All right, now moving on to the Lions at Green Bay. So I know that we talked about this last week with the Lions losing both of their coordinators last year. They seem to really miss Ben Johnson and Eric Glenn, and especially Ben Johnson that game. Jared Goff looked like Jimmy Garoppolo out there. And the Lions running back duo got absolutely stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Now, Sam Laporta played a pretty great game, but that was really about all on the Lions offense. It looked good. They left a lot to be desired, and I think there's a lot of pressure on Jared Goff now. And can he prove that he wasn't just Ben Johnson's system quarterback? Now, Love played a good game, mistake-free. And I want to move over to the Packers side of the ball on defense because I think Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons proved that game that they are the best edge rusher duo in the league. And the Packers are going to be my favorite to come out of the NFC this season.
Yeah. You can tell Micah Parsons made an immediate impact on the Packers defense. I mean, he freed up a lot. He had the sack. Jordan Love played really well. He had two good touchdown passes and played pretty well. I mean, the Packers defense, they allowed 87 rushing yards on 34 carries. Jahmyr Gibbs caught 10 passes for 31 yards. It was not a good game from either of those running backs. I don't know what to say for this one either. It just looks like a dominating game for the Packers, and I think they're definitely the favorite to win the NFC North. Maybe be a one seed in the NFC this year. It's going to be scary for them if they can't win the Super Bowl in the next 2 years, 3 years, because everyone they're going to have to start paying, they're not going to be able to afford with them like a Parsons contract. So that'll be an interesting situation to watch.
100%. All right, now moving on to the Texans at L.A. So I think we saw great games from Stafford, Puka, and Kyren. On the Texans side of the ball, C.J. Stroud did not play well. I think really the only highlight of that game for the Texans was that Will Anderson played a great game off the edge. Danielle Hunter also got some good pressure off the edge, but Will Anderson was the stud on defense for the Texans. And I think they really forced the Rams O-line to struggle in pass protection. But that was a great game overall from Matthew Stafford, and no surprise that the Rams came away with that game with how he played.
Yeah, I don't know. Is C.J. Stroud a one-hit wonder kind of year?
I know.
Is it just his rookie season? He balled out, and it hasn't clicked for him since. I don't know. He had a great playoff run back in his rookie year, and it's not looking the same. He had 202 yards, but he got pressured 41% on his dropbacks. Is it an O-line problem? Maybe it's not a C.J. Stroud problem. Their kicker had a great game. Tank Dell didn't play, and that did not help. And I feel like he does miss Tank Dell a lot.
Yep.
The defense looked pretty good. I mean, obviously, Will Anderson looked like a monster. Jalen Petrie did have a rough game, and I think it's just a week one kind of thing. Matthew Stafford on that side on the Rams side, 245 yards, which means he has 60,000 career passing yards. He had Puka Nacua for a 25-yard completion, and it looked good. It didn't look stellar, but it won them the game, and there's nothing else to say about that. I mean, it's just C.J. Stroud. Is he a one-hit wonder, or is he going to be able to play?
So I see the argument for Stroud being a one-hit wonder, but I really think that he just has a very lackluster receiving core right now, with the exception of Nico Collins. And I also think they're really rebuilding that O-line right now. You know, they traded away Laremy Tunsil to the Commanders in the offseason, and I think there's going to be some early season struggles with that O-line. I'm not super worried about Stroud, but I think once they get Tank Dell back, he'll look a lot better. And moving on to Sunday Night Football, in what was easily the most exciting game of the week, at Buffalo, what a game. Lamar and Josh Allen, they both played amazing games. For the Ravens, Derrick Henry looked phenomenal. Zay Flowers really stepped up and showed that he is the Ravens guy. And I know that I talked about this last week, me predicting that Keon Coleman would have a breakout season. He was the Bills' leading receiver and had over 100 receiving yards. He had his breakout game. Now, defensively, neither team played great on defense. I mean, they both gave up 40-plus points. For the Ravens, Matt Ebike played pretty well. But Roquan Smith really struggled with filling the gap. Both secondaries struggled, and the Bills' edge rushers really struggled to contain Lamar.
This game was electric start to finish. It looked like a dominating game for the Ravens. I mean, the first three quarters of this game, it was like, are the Ravens going to put up 50? Are the Ravens just going to keep – it didn't look like Buffalo had a defense at one point. I mean, I was having so much fun watching this game. Lamar was looking like Lamar. I mean, him or Josh Allen are leading. They have to be leading for the MVP. It looked amazing for both of them. They're the two best quarterbacks in the league right now. That's like not even a hot take. That's just the facts. James Cook had a solid game. I mean, he got paid a lot. He had that good run. Keon Coleman, wow, way to show out. Way to break out. I mean, there's nothing else to say. The Ravens defense, I mean, you're the most talented defense, has the most talent in the league right now, and you sell a 15-point lead. I don't see how you do that. I mean, your linebackers are good. Your DBs are especially good. Your D-line is solid. I don't see how they lost. And I think it's just Josh Allen doing Josh Allen things. He might go back-to-back MVPs. That game was ridiculous. He played lights out in the fourth quarter. Those last 5 minutes were electric. I'm excited to see both these teams. I mean, it's a terrible game for the Ravens to lose, but wow, they looked good in the first three quarters. So these two teams are going to be competing to win the AFC.
Definitely. I think one of those two teams is coming out of the AFC this year. I do not think it is the Chiefs here. All right, now moving on to the last game of week one, Monday Night Football last night. Minnesota traveling to Chicago. You know, coming out on that first drive, Caleb Williams, he looked pretty good.
He looked pretty good.
He completed his first 10 passes. He looked like a dog. But then from there, the Bears' offense just fell off a cliff. They didn't do much all game. And I think we really saw the opposite for J.J. McCarthy. You know, he had a very slow start in the first half. And then he took off in that second half, and he won Minnesota that game.
This game was very frustrating to me. I was rooting for the Bears in my heart. I felt like this is the year they have a good head coach. They have a good enough quarterback. We'll see how he does. I mean, he looked phenomenal that first drive. He had that completion to Romo Dunze on the sideline. That was crazy. Crazy good throw. He had that 9-yard rushing touchdown where he just ran someone over. I mean, a great first series. And then it just looked like everything didn't start working. And maybe that's Brian Flores' defense just coming in and setting the tone for the rest of the game. J.J. McCarthy, it did not look good for him that first half. And then he stepped up, two passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown in the fourth quarter, wins them the game. He played a really good game. I don't think that's his ceiling. I think he can definitely get much more explosive and much more dangerous. Caleb Williams, I think he can play a lot better than the way he did. And I feel like the Bears definitely could be a sneaky team in the wild card that you have to watch out for.
Yeah, I don't think it's time to panic with Caleb at all. I think he showed a lot of promise last night, and he still looked a lot better overall than last year. All right, now moving on to some of our awards for the week. First off, Dogs of the Week. All right, so we're going to be pretty quick with this. My Offensive Dog of the Week, I'm going to give it to Justin Herbert. You know, I really thought about both Josh Allen, Lamar. I thought about giving it to Joe Alt. But I'm giving it to Justin Herbert. You know, he played the best game of his career against the Chiefs in Brazil. He really stepped up, put up some great numbers. And moving on to my defensive dog of the week, I've got Harold Landry III of the Patriots. You know, 2.5 sacks last week. He wreaked havoc on the Raiders' offensive line. And I think he really showed that he is still a very good and very capable pass rusher.
My offensive player of the week, I know I was just talking about Josh Allen, I was talking about Lamar. I don't think it's either of those guys. I mean, they played very well. I feel like Aaron Rodgers' game just looked like 2021 MVP Aaron Rodgers.
That's good.
I think he wins it for this week. I mean, he looked amazing. He looked like back like an old self. Defensive player of the week. I didn't see any like monster performances. I do think I have to go with Harold Landry III. I mean, he had probably the best game for an edge rusher the first week. I mean, 2.5 sacks, and they lost, but what are you going to do about it?
100%. And moving on to our big play of the week award, right off the bat, I'm giving it to Michael Penix with that late rushing touchdown, which should have won Atlanta the game. That was one of the craziest plays I can remember in recent memory. And that whole sequence of plays, you know, he dove for a first down just like that touchdown the play before that. And I don't think I've ever seen a player stretch out like that for a touchdown before. He literally looked like he was levitating on the turn.
I mean, I'm not going to disagree with you. That play was really cool. And it should have won in the game. It didn't because the defensive concerns right there. But I don't think that was it. I mean, he looked like the dude, though. He did look like Atlanta's QB. And he did have that swagger. My play of the week, I think it just has to be this is a hard one because there's a lot of good plays. And, like, I think any one of those Josh Allen plays from that last 5 minutes can win player of the week. I don't know if he deserves big player of the week. J.J. McCarthy had a great comeback win. He had those touchdowns in the final minutes. I think he might win big player of the week just for, like, leading that comeback, leading the charge in that final couple minutes. And looking like a superstar in the last mm-hmm. half quarter.
All right, now lastly, moving on to our teams of the week. And I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers for team of the week. I think they played an exceptional game. They did not let the Lions do much on offense. They did not let the Lions do much on defense. And I think that they proved that they are, I think as of right now, the best team in the NFC.
I mean, yeah. If you're going to go off the best teams, it's definitely the Packers right now. If we're going to go off the most surprising-looking teams, I would say the Cowboys looked really good against a Super Bowl-caliber team. I mean, that was definitely surprising to me. They don't win Team of the Week, but they definitely could be scary this year, even though they just lost a lot of talent. Team of the Week, NFC-wise, is probably the Packers. No, it has to be the Packers. I mean, they just look dominant. It looks like they're going to have a great season.
100%. And all right, we're going to move on to a quick preview of week two. Some of the games that I am really looking forward to. This Thursday, we have got the Commanders traveling to Green Bay in what should be an offensive showdown to compete for the one seed in the NFC. Moving on to Sunday, in the 1 o'clock window, I'm really excited to see the Bills travel to New York and see how the Jets can compete with that Bills team because the Jets showed a lot of promise, and I'm excited to see what the Jets can do on offense this week. In the 4 o'clock window, we do have the Eagles traveling to the Chiefs in what will be a Super Bowl rematch. I'm really excited for this game. Neither team really played up to expectations last week, so I'm excited to see how both teams will bounce back. Sunday night, we have the Atlanta Falcons traveling to Minnesota in what I think will be a pretty underrated game. You got that young quarterback matchup in Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy. I'm looking for big games from both of them. I'm interested to see how Atlanta's offense performs against the Brian Flores defense with all those blitzes. And Monday night football, we have the L.A. Chargers traveling to Las Vegas playing the Raiders. I'm looking for another big game from Justin Herbert. And I'm really excited to see Ashton Jensen again this week, and I'm hoping he can do some more on the ground.
I'm excited for this Bears-Lions game. I feel like the Bears can win this game very easily. I mean, the Lions, without their coordinators, didn't look good. The offense looked bad. The defense didn't look much better. Definitely Commanders-Packers is a game to look out for Thursday night. That will be very exciting to watch. Bills-Jets. I think Justin Fields, I mean, he looked like an elite quarterback. We know Josh Allen's an elite quarterback. This could be a really great matchup. I think Buccaneers-Texans, if C.J. Stroud can put it together on Monday night, this could be an exciting game. I mean, there's a lot of promise for Baker Mayfield. There's a lot of promise for C.J. Stroud and that young Texans team. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're definitely looking forward to another great week of NFL football this week.
100%.
And it was a pleasure to have y'all on today. And that was No Flags, No Filter.